Well, good evening.
Good evening.
We have a treat tonight, a surprise. Dan coming fresh from another year in China, is gracing us with a surprise visit.
Member of the family returning home.
It's wonderful. It's great. Yeah, welcome back. So I thought we could talk about the Lanka a little bit, and then Dan has a story to tell us about his experience in China. So I thought we could include that in this evening. And I also wanted to tell you that Leah sends her best, and she says that Zen people are really, really nice. She enjoyed her day with us very much, and asked if she would be here for the next time, and she was disappointed that she couldn't be here tonight because I put her on the plane yesterday. So thank you for being such a good host for her. It meant a lot to me and to her. It was very sweet. So we're on the third chapter. Which is already 167. We started it briefly last time, but didn't get very far. So it's getting into what it takes to become Buddha nature, or to, it's not even becoming something, but recognizing and acknowledging something through experience only. So this is a sort of effort to describe what's needed in order for this experience to come through us as we practice. It's nothing you can get from reading. It's nothing you can get from discussing or working out in any kind of logical way. So it's a mind thing, you could say, a mind-body acknowledgement of presence. Much bigger than our usual way of experiencing. So, in talking about self-realization, of course, the subject of self comes up. And Mahamati gets to that in a few more chapters, saying, well, you keep talking about the self, and how can you talk about the self when there is no self? So that's what this chapter is basically about. What in Zen we call the two truths, the truth of the so-called ordinary life and being, and the so-called Buddha life and being, the Buddha path, or the Buddha being. And of course, it's because we have a mind that splits everything, understands everything by finding two sides to it. To whatever it is that it talks about, it looks at. It looks like there are two kinds of ways of being, and that we have to start out as ordinary being, and then after long years of practice, somehow achieve Buddha, Buddha-ness, or the Buddha path. So it's pointing out that there are ways of realizing the nature of mind that Buddha discovered and to which we are drawn to. It's not like we found out one day that we wanted to do this. Somehow this happens to us, and we find ourselves gathered together and practicing together. But it's very hard to explain to our friends and our relations. Very hard. And in fact, it's probably better not to try unless it's a really good friend, because it's just bewildering to people. Until your own practice becomes so ripe that you yourself just become an Buddha, you become obvious to others, even though you aren't aware of it yourself. You bring the practice into your whole life, even though you aren't thinking about it all the time or even trying. If you try, it becomes something else. So it's just the benefit of practice is that we are able to meet others just through doing this thing we really don't understand very well, and that, as he says in here, does not depend on words. So we can't explain it. So he talks about two transformations, the transformation of the body, that coming to the place of realizing the nature of dharmas and the nature of realization that we project the body. And as we sit, we experience samadhi, which means calm and quiet, peace. And in the course of being in a state of peace, which comes to us before we even sit zazen, we begin to get tastes of it all through our life before we sit, we begin to realize that what we perceive is nothing but our mind. We think it's out there, but you can't say it's out there or in here. So we contemplate and understand as we look, as we taste and smell and touch, and begin to realize that our experience is generated from this place. And we begin to understand the characteristics of how things work. That the illusory, he calls it, are devoid of anything real. That body and mind are transformed to attain samadhi. So, contemplation and understanding of the characteristics of the bodies needs to be cultivated first of all, and that's why this is the first chapter. And Buddha says at the end of it in a verse, "My path is not a great path." I like that so much. "My path is not a great path, nor is it instruction or words, nor is it truth or liberation, nor is it a realm of nothingness. The path of the Mahayana includes the power of samadhi, different projection bodies, adornments of self-mastery." Self-mastery. So, instead of being driven by the world in all the ways that there are, from ambition and fear and jealousy and envy and anger and et cetera, with self-mastery, we face, instead of being turned by the world that we project. And an ability to face and understand our projections, we're freed from it. We're freed from the entanglement of grasping. And that's the whole point. Our attachments hold us in a very tight grip. And it's very hard to move or to breathe. So in the next chapter, he goes on to talk about the transformation of deed, of action. And it's a very odd metaphor. It's really sort of horrifying. He says, the five Avicii deeds, the five horrible deeds that are unforgivable in Buddhism, killing one's father or one's mother, killing an arhat, disrupting the sangha, and maliciously drawing the blood of a Buddha. He says, what is the mother of every being? It is desire and joy together with a thirst to be reborn, on which one depends as if on one's mother. And ignorance is the father by means of which one is born into the village of the senses. Severing these two roots is what is meant by killing the mother and the father. And when the passions that lie hidden like plague-infested rats are exterminated, this is what is meant by killing an arhat. Our passions lie in hiding until conditions encourage their appearance, which is why they're likened to disease-carrying rodents. Disrupting the sangha means assembly of different characteristics that form the skandhas is utterly destroyed, and this is what is meant by disrupting the sanghas. So because the body of the seven forms of consciousness, you know, the alaya vijnana, is unaware that external characteristics, individual or shared, are nothing but perceptions of one's own mind. One uses the merciless purity of the three liberations to behead the Buddha of the seven forms of consciousness once and for all. This is what is meant by maliciously drawing the blood of a Buddha. Mahamati, any man or woman who commits such deeds, namely the five unrelenting deeds, are themselves called unrelenting. So this is very peculiar. But the point is that we're stuck with Avicii deeds until we understand that the evils which we struggle with in our life are also the possible way of dealing with them. So, the passions, the thirst, the ignorance, the consciousness of objective realms, all the things that are sort of built up as information on us, by which we are kind of stuck, is what is meant by being aware that these are nothing but perceptions of their own mind, our own mind, and we abandon projections of a body and what belongs to a body, and attachments to a self and what belongs to a self, or eventually meet a good friend and can escape projections of continuity in another existence. So again, the whole point is to escape the notion that there's a real self which we're carrying around, and being when indeed they're projections of a body, spending so much time with Leah for 10 days, I had spent that amount of time with her big sister Sophie, and so I had two experiences identical between two people who were related and yet of a vast distance in age, and I kept comparing them and seeing how one could be the other, and yet it was all just a made up story about them, and they're really nothing alike. It's a projection, you know, kind of delightful projection of what these kids are, and we do it to our pleasure short term, but long term it gives us difficulty. Abandoning grasping means I'm not holding on. Noticing when we project and not holding on. So, let's go to China.